been my pleasure to be meditating on the parables of Jesus Christ recently. We have been moved to think about the kingdom that Jesus has come to establish. And these parables have been used by God to instruct us in that and lead us to consider the work of Jesus Christ then and now. Please listen as I read Matthew 13, beginning with verse 51, and I'll read to the end of the chapter. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. In my parents' home, there are a variety of treasures. By treasures, I mean things that are precious and valuable to them and to us. You go into their home and you can't help but remember some of the pleasant times that we as a family have had together in the past. There are things that my mother especially has kept that remind her of those special times. She brings out treasures, old and new, things to bless us and to remind us of those special days. Sometimes she will remember things from her childhood and show us some of the items that she has from her mother's household. And she'll relate some of those precious stories, things that are part of our upbringing and are part of those treasures. And sometimes she lays before us new things, things that she and my dad are experiencing in their lives. Sometimes she brings out new things, as in a meal, something that she loves to do just by way of service. They're treasures that are old and new, with which she blesses us. Jesus is a householder that lays out treasures, old and new. Jesus is at the heart of this parable. He is the scribe who understands the kingdom of heaven and lays out the work of Jesus, the work of God that is continuous through Old and New Testament, leading us to understand what those treasures are. This passage starts with a very striking question. Jesus asks his disciples, "Have you understood these things?" It's on that basis that he describes or lays out this next parable, the parable of the householder. In it, we will find that Jesus is that householder that brings out treasures old and new. My point this morning, what I'm especially wanting you to get, is that through faith, we are blessed with understanding. We come to understand God's promises, both old and new, as to be revolving around Jesus Christ. Therefore, my urging for you today, and what I'll be calling you to do, is to get wisdom, to get understanding by pursuing Jesus. I'll take three steps to do this. First, by seeing that Jesus gave parables to his disciples for their understanding. Second, the blessing of understanding. And third, the tragedy of unbelief. First of all, Jesus gave the parables to be understood by his disciples. I said that Jesus starts with this very striking question: have you understood these things? Earlier in the chapter, we noted that Jesus said that he spoke in parables for a mixed purpose. One of those purposes was to conceal the kingdom from those who were unbelieving, those who were his enemies. He quoted from Isaiah 6 and said that it had not been given to them, to the unbeliever, to hear and understand his teachings about the kingdom of heaven. And so he spoke in parables so that they would hear with their ears and yet not understand. But to the disciples, he said, to his disciples and to all the followers of Jesus, he says, it has been given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He goes on to say, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So to the disciples and to you, followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus tells the parables so that you might understand the kingdom of heaven. He means for you to understand the parables. He means for you to apply them in your lives. And for that reason, he asked his disciples, have you understood these things? And then he stood ready to explain them to these leaders that he was training to follow after him. The disciples had already proven the fact that they were sometimes a little slow to understand. And so Jesus, in a sense, took them by the hand and led them along so that they would understand it. I also want you to notice that the disciples weren't afraid to ask for explanation. When they didn't understand, they said to Jesus privately, what was that all about? We didn't quite follow that. And then Jesus stoops to graciously explain what he was teaching. He didn't treat them as if they were stupid or slow of understanding. Instead, he graciously leads them along so that they would understand. I'm struck with how important this is. Just the very fact that Jesus intends for you to understand this. Because of that, it implies that call that I said was my point this morning. My call is to get understanding, to long for and to nurture, to be an eager learner of Jesus Christ. But all too often it seems like we can stop short of understanding. There are a couple of reasons why that seems to be the case. Sometimes you might be like me, that you're just caught up with other things, and so it's easy to be inattentive or to not pay attention to what God is saying. Have you ever had your Bible open for your devotions in the morning and you read through a chapter and you closed it and you said, I've read my chapter, and you put the Bible down and you turn to walk away and then you think, now, what was it that I just read? I can't even quite remember what it was. You might be in a sermon, and the preacher may not be very easy to follow, like I'm not sometimes. You might still be distracted and go away and completely miss what has happened here. Inattention or not paying attention is not the attitude of that eager learner that the disciples had and that Jesus was nurturing. Sometimes We can also just approach God and His Word out of outward conformity or show. I described reading my Bible and closing and saying, I've done my duty. In fact, in my Bible, I have a plan that I'm following right now, and it has boxes that I check to say, I've done my Bible reading today. And it's very tempting just to fall into the pattern of saying, check, I did it, without ever engaging in a process of understanding, without ever approaching that word, asking questions, God, what would you have me to do because of this? By contrast, Jesus wants you to understand His Word. He wants you to apply it to yourself. Through the Holy Spirit, God impresses you with His Word and with its meaning. You can take steps to cause that, or to nurture that desire, to nurture that attitude of becoming an eager learner. Those steps can be as simple as what I've come to describe as an ABC Bible study. Actually, it's not what I've come to call it. I was taught this by my dad. One of those treasures, old. To ask just three simple questions about a passage you read. What is it about? A. What is the best verse? B. And why it's interesting to you. And C. Commitment. What should I do because of that? You can nurture this attitude of becoming an eager learner of God's truth. You can ask questions of others. Jesus wasn't ashamed of His disciples when they asked. You shouldn't be ashamed either to ask questions about what you were reading. You can ask God directly in prayer as well. Ask Him to teach you from His Word and by your Spirit. Ask Him to teach you through your parents, through your Sunday school teachers, through your church, your brothers and sisters. Don't be ashamed to ask. Instead, get wisdom. Get understanding. Now, the Christian life is much more than just the mind, but we are convinced that the Holy Spirit normally works faith through understanding. And Jesus wants you to understand. Second, the blessing of understanding and believing. Jesus asked that striking question, do you understand all these things? And the disciples say, yes, Lord. And so He lays out this parable. Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Jesus speaks of the blessings of understanding. He compares it to an owner of a house who brings out of those things that he has collected, treasures that are new and old. I describe my parents' house, and you might think of your own home, or imagine a man who over time has collected things that are valuable to him. He's collected things that remind him of God's blessings in the past, or of things that are new, and then he brings them out to bless his guests. He invites people to come over, and he uses these not as showpieces to praise himself, but instead he brings out those treasures in order to say, here, I offer these to you. I offer these to you as a blessing in your life. In this case, Jesus gives a pointed encouragement to the scribes. I'm going to lead us to see how this has a special application to Jesus Christ. But before that, think just a moment about who the scribes were. These were men who devoted their lives to studying Scripture. And the Scripture they studied was the Old Testament. They gave their lives to understand the teachings of God in the Old Testament. And here, Jesus says that the one who believes and understands the kingdom of heaven is one who has been blessed with these understandings. In other words, these are ones who have come to understand those Old Testament scriptures that they have studied as revolving around the kingdom of heaven, as proclaimed by Jesus Christ. You can imagine how their breath is taken away as Jesus begins to make connections between the promises of the Old Testament and the fulfillment that he is bringing. We stand in that same position as the scribes in Jesus' day. We have the complete scope of Jesus' teaching and work before us. So we can see how he came to die on the cross to satisfy the judgment of God against sin. We can see how that is spoken of from the very first pages of Scripture. In Genesis chapter 3, we have the very first promise of Jesus Christ. God said to Adam and Eve, on the day they ate of the forbidden fruit, and he pronounced judgment on them, he says to them, "I will send a Redeemer." In short, is what he says. He says, "There will be a seed of the woman who will crush the head of the serpent." That's a promise of Jesus Christ. From the very opening pages of Scripture. And that's fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ to die on the cross. We read as well in the Old Testament about Noah and how God delivered him by hiding him in an ark. We come to understand that we are delivered from sin and its power and its punishment by God who hides us in Jesus. And we read of the laws of sacrifice and look forward to Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God. We read of those Old Testament priests who stood daily to make offerings to God and understand how Jesus, our great high priest, has offered himself, how he has gone ahead of us into the heavenly throne room and there exists to mediate for us. We read of the prophets of the Old Testament who spoke for God. And now we know that Jesus Christ has come in these last days to reveal the Father to us. We read of the kings, of David in particularly, a man after God's own heart. We know that Jesus has come in fulfillment of the promise that there will always be a king of the line of David that rules over God's people. Just over and over and over again, we see the significance of the kingdom of heaven revolving around Jesus Christ. And so we have these treasures that are new in the coming of Christ and yet also old, and they're connected together by Jesus. What a rich treasure that we have because of that. In this case, the teacher of the law in this parable is one who has found this new treasure. He has found the Messiah and proclaims the message of the kingdom of heaven in Old and New Testament. And while we participate in this, as I've demonstrated, I also want you to see how the parable presses us further, because it presses us ultimately to Jesus Christ as that householder. Ultimately, Jesus fulfills this parable perfectly. Isn't it fascinating how throughout all of these parables that we have found Jesus right at the heart of them? He is the one who scatters the seeds of the gospel. He is the one that overrules the gathering in at the end of the age. He's the one who gave everything so as to claim that pearl of great price, and so on. Jesus is at the heart of this one as well. He is the scribe, the student of God's word, who understands the kingdom of heaven and who perfectly lays out those blessings, those treasures, old and new, for our benefit. I've already noted some of those foreshadowings that are given. I've couched them in the terms of the Old Testament so you could see how we are blessed by those. Now step over into the New Testament, and I want you to see how Jesus, like that householder, lays out this bountiful treasure for us. Think of how he is first introduced by John the Baptist. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now that's a statement that has to be couched in the Old Testament. Those are the types and shadows that God used to proclaim the coming of Jesus. And here Jesus enters into the scene of the New Testament and is proclaimed as the perfect sacrifice. And he accepts that title. I've always thought that that's a moment that the crowds that were there must have elbowed each other and say, "What did he say? Did you hear what John the Baptist called him? The Lamb of God who takes away our sins. I need to go and find out some more about this Jesus." Think of what Jesus said on the cross. As he suffered the wrath of God on our behalf. Among other things, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." Well, what is finished? As a householder, he lays out a treasure of the completed work of redemption. Jesus Christ finished the work that he came to do. And he lays it out as a treasure to us. On the road to Emmaus, after the resurrection, Jesus opened the eyes of the disciples. How? "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Here are the treasures of Jesus Christ, old and new. Here are the treasures of the kingdom of heaven that revolve around Jesus. And we benefit from this, do we not? We are blessed through faith. Or using the language of this parable, we are blessed through understanding. We too come to understand the beauty of God's promises. We come to understand the continuity between the old and the new covenant. We come to understand how Jesus is the fulfillment of those promises. And so we come to love more and more that gospel of Jesus Christ as it is proclaimed throughout the pages of Scripture. We love the gospel as it is proclaimed through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the way down to Revelation. But we can also go back to the gospel of Jesus Christ as proclaimed in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Psalms, and Isaiah, and Malachi, all the way through Old and New Testament. The kingdom of heaven is proclaimed, revolving around Jesus. As a counterexample to this, Matthew immediately goes to tell of how Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth. And they do not believe. So I want to thirdly look at the tragedy of unbelief. The people in Nazareth knew Jesus as the son of Mary and Joseph. They call him the carpenter's son. They knew his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. They knew his sisters, those born of Mary and Joseph. and they listened to Jesus. They were amazed at his wisdom and the miracles that he performed. And they asked, where did he get this? You know, in a very interesting way, the householder is laying out the treasures, and the people of Nazareth are amazed at them, but then they reject them. And they reject Jesus. It says they were offended at him. And in response, Jesus observed, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. What a contrast this sparks. You have the disciples in the first case, those who Jesus says, have you understood? And he stoops to help them to understand. And then you have the people of Nazareth who hear the teachings, they see the miracles, and they say, where does this guy come from? Who does he think he is? Boy, he's just getting too big for his britches, that carpenter's son. He needs to know his place. And instead of stooping to explain, Jesus withdraws. And it says that he did not do many miracles in Nazareth because of their unbelief. Behold, says Ryle about this, in this single word, the secret of the everlasting ruin of multitudes of souls. They perish forever because they will not believe. There's nothing beside in heaven or on earth that prevents their salvation. Their sins, however many, might all be forgiven. The Father's love is ready to receive them. The blood of Christ is ready to cleanse them. The power of the Spirit is ready to renew them. But a great barrier interposes. They will not believe. He calls it a ruinous nature of unbelief. They would not believe. Unbelief indeed is ruinous. We can say that it is the unforgivable sin. We believe that God saves graciously and sovereignly. In other words, we believe that it is an action of His to regenerate us. But that doesn't mean that you have no responsibility to believe. God calls men everywhere to repent and to believe. And your closeness to the truth is not what matters. The people in Nazareth were close to Jesus. They grew up with him. They knew his family. They may have been in his home and shared meals. But closeness is not saving faith. In a similar way, you may be close to the church. You may have a Bible in every room of your house. But if you do not understand, and if you do not repent, then you do not have Jesus. Remember the other parables and the warning that is given there of the disaster of unbelief. The unbelievers are gathered together at the end of the age and thrown into an everlasting fire where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood these things? Have you believed them? No? Then come to Jesus. Ask him to take away your blindness and your hardness of heart. Ask him to grant you understanding. Ask him to grant you faith. And Jesus, who came to seek and to save that which is lost, says he will never turn away those who come to him. Have you understood these things? Have you believed them? Yes? Then rejoice rejoice that it has been given to you to understand and to believe. Rejoice that the Holy Spirit has taken away your blind eyes and your stone-cold heart. Rejoice that He has given you faith. And rest in the promises of God and nurture your love for them. Stir up your understanding. Stir up your appreciation for God's Word. Meditate on them. Listen to them. Memorize them. By understanding, God gives grace. They are treasures that Jesus Christ Himself lays out before you. Treasures, both old and new, that you may understand in Jesus Christ. He means you to understand them. He has given you to understand them. In closing, I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 1. Think of it as the blessing of God. There, Paul says that he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Get wisdom. Get understanding in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord God, thank You for the treasures which are Yours that You lay out before us in Jesus Christ. Thank You for the understanding that You have granted to us through eyes of faith. We pray, O Lord, that You would be stirring that up in us day by day. That You'd be stirring it up in the next generation in our children, that they might believe and follow after You. We pray that understanding might be given to the ends of the earth. And as we share the gospel, Lord, we pray that You would be powerful to save and to grant that understanding to many. O Lord God, we thank You for that blessing. We pray that You would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll close by singing Psalm 119. The portion will be the M portion. It's a psalm about studying God's law and loving His Word. I want you to see how it speaks of those treasures, old and new. You'll see as well that it speaks of the understanding that we have through God and how precious these words are to us. They're more precious to us than gold and more sweeter than honey. Let's sing Psalm 119M. Please stand to sing.